You're listening to the Stark Naked Report for Monday, November 24th. Today, new James Bond, Quantum of Solace, shopping for laptops, the best deals, holiday gift ideas, Kick a Ginger Day, what does it mean, and the killers. On this episode of the Stark Naked Report, the best of StarkSilverCreek.com and current news. I'm Clinton Stark, and I'm joined, as usual, with my co-host, Lonnie Cow Stark. How are you doing, Lonnie?
Good.
Well, let's start talking about James Bond, Quantum of Solace, the big blockbuster movie. We had a lot of expectations going into this one. Casino Royale with Daniel Craig really reinvigorated the series.
Yeah, I was actually really excited to see it, and it was the first time we've been out to an actual theater. We've been normally housed inside with our home theater system, but this time around we thought we wanted to catch it before it went on to video.
And that's rare, you're right. I mean, normally we love to watch it at home. You don't have someone kicking you in the back of the seat. You don't have to worry about the sticky floors. You can pause the movie, you can take certain breaks, you know.
It was, although I have to say, this theater we were in was much nicer than the last one. There wasn't a smell or stench of popcorn everywhere or anything of that sort.
It was pretty good. And one thing I noticed about theaters now is they run ads and images on the screen when you first walk in. It used to be when you would sit down, the curtain would be there, the curtain would open 2 minutes and they would show previews, but now they show ads. I don't know if
when
you
was
that.
The last time you
well maybe that maybe
that's
that was
been happening for a while
years ago. Okay, well, let's talk about the movie itself. Okay. What do you think?
You know, I have to say, when it first started and that music by Alicia Keys started playing and the graphics started going, I knew there was just something off. The music was a little too screamy, and it didn't sync up with the graphics. It just wasn't right.
It didn't feel right. And it opened with a car chase, too, with the Aston Martin. But what I noticed right away with that scene was the clipping and the video editing they used was very MTV style, times 1,000%. In other words, you felt so discombobulated. You didn't know what was going on. They're doing flash cuts.
It almost felt like the director gave all control over to the special effect
right.
guys.
Yes.
And the special effect guys, you know, those guys behind all that equipment just went crazy and nuts. And
here's an Aston Martin. Here's all the CGI. Here's a big budget. And the budget on this was about $225 million, I think. Which goes to show you, I don't believe the bigger budget always results in the better movie.
No, I think that, you know, it's good to have a certain amount of budget to turn out something that is professional looking. But if you think about a lot of the special effects and everything else, oftentimes it's creativity. And that usually happens when you have a limited budget. And actually, I think the CEO, someone from Disney,
Michael
talked
Eisner.
About that. There we go, yeah.
I saw a keynote where he talked about the challenge, less money. Equaled greater creativity. So when they were back in the corner with less money, they came up with great ideas that resulted in better movies. I forgot the examples, but
yeah,
absolutely
definitely.
Right.
So I thought that overall, you didn't really connect with any of the characters. And I know you think that it's an action movie and sometimes you don't, but I just didn't particularly find the female character or any of the, you know, even Daniel Craig in this movie,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't so concerned that he got hit or hurt.
No.
There wasn't that element of actually caring about the characters enough to see whether they were going to actually come out from danger.
Well, here's why. You know, and I think this is exactly the reason why. In Casino Royale, which is the movie they did so well in 2006 to relaunch the James Bond series, is they had action sequences, but in between those sequences, they had excellent character development at the casino where there was actual conversation. There was an actual scene, which was great, between Daniel Craig and, I've forgotten her name, Vesper, on the train where they have a wonderful conversation. It was very reminiscent of Vertigo, actually, from Hitchcock. That doesn't happen in this movie.
No.
This movie is one action scene after another, tremendous action scenes, but when you sequence them all together, I think after a while, it's overload.
It's overload. And I think, though, you bring up a good point about Casino Royale. And actually, some people had criticized Casino Royale for having too many of those casino scenes and those slow-moving scenes.
I like that.
And we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I think maybe they were now, you know, the pendulum has swung and they wanted to have all this action. Although I would have to say the story, the plot was very basic.
Which one? Quantum Solace?
Quantum Solace. Right. There wasn't much interest, but if you think about the actual premise of it, it could have been a very fascinating, interesting movie because it was all around the scarcity of water.
In Bolivia, and yeah, it was all over the map. Though.
Which if you look at the news stories out there, as much as they talk about oil prices and everything else, water is becoming more and more of a precious, scarce resource.
Right.
And we think about it, it was that scene, hopefully this isn't a spoiler, but the scene where he throws that can of motor oil. And you really think about the value between oil versus water.
Well, that's true.
Right? I mean, if you don't have gas or oil, sure, a lot of things happen. But if you don't have any water, you basically die of thirst.
Well, here's the I agree. That's a great point. Here's the things that are missing from the episode, missing from James Bond now. They made him an angry guy into his Casino Royale, and it worked. But it wears thin after a while. If all he is an angry guy trying to get revenge, they're missing now the gadgets that they had. They need to reintroduce that. That's unique to James Bond. And I love him. Yeah, and being a gadget guy, they need to reintroduce that. They need to reintroduce him as a human, you know, in the interactions. I will say the interactions with M were excellent, and they always are with Judi Dench, who's a great actress. So there's great scenes still in this movie. The best scenes probably are between him and M.
Yeah.
And the villain and the Bond girl are weak. The villain, he's got these bugged out eyes, like I'm gonna freak you out with my bugged out eyes, and he wears these Simple Minds like 80s things, like I say in my blog entry, and the girl, she's pretty, but she not a very good actress.
She isn't really a good actress, and I think these days in Hollywood, it's great if you have a pretty face, but there's just so many pretty girls out in Hollywood that you have to have something that really, makes you distinct. As far as James Bond and what you're mentioning, I think what's missing in this is that vulnerability of James Bond.
Right.
If you notice in Casino Royale, there's scenes where he is vulnerable. And because of that, you get to see the different complexities of someone who's very angry on the outside, but is really hurt in the inside. And for someone of the female persuasion, that's very attractive.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I think that very well said. I think they need to take a bit of Sean Connery and a bit of the Roger Moore. I think Roger Moore's, you still need that tongue-in-cheek a little bit. And I think then you would have the perfect Bond, just like Casino Royale.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be another try at this one.
Well, we'll be back at this again. Holiday Gift Ideas 2008. Here we go. I think it's going to be a great season for shopping because retailers, to be honest, are struggling.
Yep.
So there's going to be a lot of great deals out there.
And definitely, usually it's good to do shopping earlier on. So with Thanksgiving coming along, I know people are thinking about the turkeys and everything else, but definitely Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Yes.
I think it's the biggest shopping day in the U.S., I believe. I think it's the biggest shopping day. In Canada, it would be Boxing Day.
Yeah.
But in the U.S., it's Black Friday.
Well, Black Friday, it's a day that retailers supposedly go from the red all year to the black, so.
Yeah, exactly. So this year, we have a couple of interesting topics. Laptops, we talked about espresso machines, GPS. Well, let's start with laptops. You know, the first thing I'll say about laptops is the market is a buyer's market. You can get incredible capability in a laptop at a price point typically under $1,000, which used to be $3,000 to $4,000.
Yeah, I remembered actually before when desktops were in and laptops, you really had to pay a significant premium
for portability,
for the kind of power you wanted to actually do something interesting and the processing power. But nowadays, you can get a laptop for a very reasonable price, and I think they're becoming the de facto standard.
They are, and I think a lot of cases now, they replace a desktop. So it used to be you would have a desktop and a laptop. Now the laptops are powerful enough that it could be your one machine.
Although you probably still need a large server, just a box, right? A processing box for storage and everything. But then your laptops could connect into that.
I see, right, to store all your photos, your videos, and your music. And so some of the interesting trends I've noticed, because I've been shopping for laptops, are a couple things. One is they're all 16 by 9. They're all this widescreen now. So if you're watching movies now, they will show better on your screen now. Mm-hmm. The other thing is they're reflective screens. So, you know, for people who like anti-glare, that's actually seems to be decreasing.
Yeah, that seems a strange thing you were mentioning around when you went shopping for a laptop set. It's been really this glare or this shiny aspect to it. And I'm used to my IBM ThinkPad, and that's got a quite a
anti-glare
screen, which I like.
It's very If you go into Best Buy now and look at all their laptops, it's unusual to find one that's anti-glare. In fact, you may not even find one. And the reason is because apparently with that screen, with the glare, it adds better color contrast and better colors. Well, that's the theory.
If you can get past the glare.
If you can get past the glare. So when you're staring at your laptop typing, you know, something, an email, you don't want to look back and see, you don't want to see yourself in the screen.
Maybe people do in the dark. Maybe people work on laptops in the dark, because then that would work, right? Maybe for those gamers out in the dark.
In the dark would be good. And so there's a couple other trends. One is Bluetooth is very common now. I think it's de facto. You want Bluetooth. Hard drive space is 250 to 320 gigabytes now.
For those people that don't know, why would you want Bluetooth? What are the
advantages? You want Bluetooth because, very good question, Lonnie. I'm glad you're at. Bluetooth is great because you can hook up to any device you have without a wire. So a mouse, for example, a wireless headset, for example. Bluetooth is eliminates all the cords, for example, and cables that you used to have on your laptop, and
that,
I like it.
That would be useful, actually, because with a laptop, sometimes you're in different locations, and you don't want to be moving from one to another and have to carry all your cords with you.
Yeah, and it's good enough now that it actually provides excellent quality. So if you're having a phone conversation on a Bluetooth headset, for example, through your laptop, I think the quality is very good. Some of the other trends now are a lot of laptops now come with HDMI output. So you can connect to high definition. You could run a Blu-ray off your laptop and put it to your home theater. And so we're seeing a lot of these multimedia capabilities come through your laptop.
I see.
Now.
So with the HDMI output, if you were to run an HD movie through your laptop, you could connect it to your home theater system.
Right.
For those of you who have a home theater system.
Yeah, and it would look as good as if you had a dedicated Blu-ray player. So, and the other thing that's happening in laptops is they're becoming lighter, too. So you can get all this power for a lot less weight, which is nice, too.
So what is the sort of price point of laptops these days?
Well, I would say if you're looking for you can go as low as $300 for these so-called netbooks, which are very lightweight, but just simply for email and word processing. But if you want to step up from that, you're looking at, I'd say, from $500 to $1,000 U.S. Very rarely, I would say, now do you have to go above $1,000 U.S.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and that will get you a fully loaded laptop, and I think Black Friday is a good day to look for some of these deals that you're going to see. Some of the top brands that I've seen, I've looked at a lot of laptops. I would rate three very highly.
Okay.
Here's why. Lenovo, which used to be owned by IBM, was spun off and created a new company called Lenovo. I like Lenovo because they are business class laptops with the best keyboard.
Yeah.
You have a ThinkPad.
I do. I've had four generations, actually more than that now, probably six generations of ThinkPads,
yeah.
and love them.
Always liked it, right?
Robust. Have never had a problem with them. One time I spilled Diet Coke on one of the keyboards, and once it dried off, it booted back up. And believe me, that was like, I was so thankful when that happened.
And, okay, so that's Lenovo, very solid business class machine.
You do pay premium on
yes,
the price.
Yes, you do. You pay premium for the machine, and you also pay premium for parts on Lenovo. The other one I would recommend people look at is the HP. Hewlett-Packard actually has bang for the buck, I would say. So you get a lot of features for the money. So on Lenovo, for example, you pay $500 more for Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
So if you took the same laptop, you want a Blu-ray player, $500 more.
So that comes in the HP.
HP, well, no, you pay maybe $50 to $100 more for it,
okay.
As opposed to $500.
Okay.
The default, I think, is still a standard DVD. But
it's interesting. HP has come a long way. It was actually really behind Dell for a while. Now the positions opposite Dell's kind of been doing badly, and HP has been doing well. And I think one of the things is, and this is my personal preference, is I've never liked Dell laptops, and unless they ever get that correct, I really think the market for laptops is growing quickly and the desktop market is shrinking.
Well, that's exactly right. Dell, the problem with Dell that I find is the keyboard flex is what they call it. So when you go shopping for a laptop, what I recommend you do, and I don't know why, they just say this, put your hands on the keyboard and push down, and the lower quality, cheaper laptops will tend to flex. So they'll bend. And the good ones, like Lenovo, for example, HP doesn't do it. They don't flex. And the reason why you care about that is because it shows the build quality. Mm. And it shows a less susceptibility, perhaps breaking down.
Yeah. Especially if you type a lot, I guess the stability.
Oh, yeah.
So what's your third choice? You said Lenovo, HP. What's your third one?
My third choice is Sony. And Sony has some excellent laptops. Now, the only problem with Sony is sometimes they're quirky, their keyboards. They're a little more like the iMac or MacBook. So if you like the keys that are, how do you say it? They kind of sit on top of the keyboard. You saw it. I'm not sure how to describe it. But they're a little bit different. But the Sony has a good Blu-ray, a good price point, a lot of features, and a good build quality. So yeah. I would say Lenovo, HP, and Sony are your top three.
So would you buy them off the web, or do you think you should go to a store? Where's the better deals?
If you're in the U.S., I'd say you go to Best Buy, or actually in Canada, too. Go to Best Buy, take a look at them. Your best deals are going to be probably Black Friday on the web. But I think Best Buy had some pretty good deals, actually. Some deals on the Sony, for example, they have a 16-inch model that I think was very nice. And the price point was cheaper than you could find on the web. So
sometimes people mention that you can get better deals at stores if you know where to look, because they actually have inventory they have to get rid of. Whereas on the web, sometimes they don't necessarily have the inventory on hand. They do it more on demand.
Right.
So that's something that was brought up. But you do have to go around, shop a bit, and maybe stand in a couple of lines.
Yeah, and plus you're able to negotiate with someone probably face-to-face. And you never know. Maybe they throw in a laptop bag. Or I used to work in computing back in Canada in the 80s. And may I throw in a stack of paper or some 5 1/4-inch discs?
Boy, you're dating yourself.
Other gift ideas on our blog, Tom Eden, Mike Carroll wrote some good stuff. We talked about an espresso. As an espresso machine, they mentioned this vacuum vine system for $10. Allows you to vacuum seal a wine, make it last longer. And we talked about GPS is a good gift idea too. That's come way down in price.
Yeah, actually, Vacuvine, we have it, we use it, we think it's great. I do think that I need to write some blog entries about gift guides, because so far they're pretty gadgety. So don't worry, I'll come up with someone's.
Well,
for
you
women
know, when you're giving
well.
A gift, though, isn't it more fun to receive something that's kind of cool as opposed to a piece of clothing? I mean, clothing is probably more useful though. At the end of the day.
Hold on a sec. Who said I was going to actually blog about clothing? There's a lot of other interesting.
Or pots and pans. Or
well, it depends on what you're getting. I guess maybe someone's not getting dinner today.
I guess they are important.
So a little while ago, we had the Talk Like a Pirate Day, and just recently, this week actually, was Kick a Ginger Day, and I completely missed it. This whole idea of Kick a Ginger.
Yeah, I never heard of it before.
No, South Park actually started it.
Potential target for this.
You are. Basically redheaded children. I guess it could be redheaded adults as well, but I think it's children that they were most afraid would take South Park's gag seriously. So the idea was actually, I think, on the 20th, right? Or 21st. Which day was it?
It's in our blog.
It's in our blog.
Last week sometime,
basically. There was this whole idea that on this particular day, you kick a ginger, and ginger is, I guess, a slang for redheaded people. And so Clint didn't find out until later on in the evening, and he was actually quite afraid for his
life. That's the first time I heard of redheads referred to it. And I've heard, being a redhead growing up, I've heard a lot of names.
Yeah.
But ginger would be the first.
Well, it's interesting because
I've never heard of that before.
Well, if you look genetically, I think redheads are actually, natural redheads are more rare than blondes. And in fact,
For sure.
Yeah, and on one, when I was at a hotel in a city on a business trip, in the morning, they had this show, like a new show, and they mentioned that at the course of just genetic pairings, in about 50 years, redheads will be extinct.
What?
Yeah.
In 50 years?
Yes.
Except for Scotland. Or even including Scotland?
Well, just with all the marriage, because it's a recessive gene having redhead.
Right. So over time it will...
Yes.
So I'm a very rare commodity, I guess, then.
Sort of, I guess.
But it's funny...
I have black hair and you have red, so if we ever had kids, you'd be wiped out. that little wimpy red gene will just be gone.
Well, how can they have a Kick a Ginger Day and not other races or...
Actually,
that would not come across well. That would not be politically correct. They could do it with redheads, but they couldn't do it, for example, kick a, you know,
well, they have
choose a race or something.
Well, they have blonde jokes. So, yeah,
well, they have blonde
kick
jokes.
Kick a ginger. They actually did, I was reading about this. Don't ask me why, but I was reading up a little on Kick a Ginger, and they were talking about discrimination and how this woman did bring up discrimination because she felt she was discriminated against because of her red hair. But it didn't stand up in court, though.
What? Yeah, you see? We're a minority. That's what happens.
Yeah, and just historically, if you look at Wikipedia and you search redheads, redheads have just had terrible terrible sort of history of being known for bad tempers, etc. Like, for example, Anne of Green Gables with
the
whole...
She had a bad temper?
Yeah, she did. She remember
Anne of Green Gables had a bad temper?
Yeah, she took that chalkboard and pounced it over Gilbert's head. So there, and then also, you know, other Pippi Longstocking was also a redhead.
I'm trying to think of famous redheads I know. Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
Yeah, and he seems kind of temperamental.
Oh, Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth was redhead?
Was redheaded. So, anyways, so I'm sure we could, if we had to think of all the Asians that had black hair like mine, we'd be overwhelmed. So, anyways, 4%, you know, I think 4% of the population.
As if I need one more thing to worry about when I was a kid growing up, when it was minus 30 degrees Celsius out at the bus stop with my clarinet case going to my clarinet lesson. You know, would I need to worry about someone kicking me as a ginger?
Yeah. Although your hair's more blonde these days, I find, less red. But when you were a kid, I saw those pictures. You should see, actually, if anybody of you seen Clint with, I've seen pictures of you with the clarinet or the saxophone, and you were this, like, little skinny, scrawny, kid with a tuft of red hair.
Right. And they used to dress, my parents were dressing me like the Beatles, you know, in the 60s, or like Little Lord Fauntleroy, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Woody Allen. I used to have Woody Allen glasses. All right.
So that explains a lot, Clint.
All right. On the music front, there was an interesting news last week. Zune, which is made by Microsoft, offers a subscription service for downloading music. And they compete with Apple. They compete with Rhapsody and Napster. And what Zune did was they offer a subscription service where you can pay $15 a month and download all the music you want. But now... the difference is you can download everything you want, but you can keep 10 of those songs forever.
Huh. I wonder what kind of deal they struck with the content owners on that.
I'm not sure, but I think it's a great deal. If you pay $15 a month and you can download all the music you want, plus 10 are free, it's like getting a free CD almost, because most CDs are about 10 songs every month.
And it also gets away from the people that have been resistant to the whole subscription program because of the idea that they don't really own any of the music. So with any of the other subscription services, I mean, it happens with my MP3 sometimes when I'm going to work out at the gym, where it just says, well, you have to connect to get the rights enabled again.
It stops playing your music because every, I think, 30 days or less, you have to sync it and renew your DRM.
Yes.
And if it doesn't, you're caught and you can't play your music. Yeah. It's very frustrating.
So that's nice how you can own at least 10. And speaking of music, I was just driving home. Actually, I talked about it quickly. I was so excited. I actually wrote a blog entry about this. But The Killers, Human, I thought it was a really catchy song, and really like it, and I'm still waiting for someone to put it on my MP3 player so I can work out to it.
I wonder who that person would be responsible for that.
I don't know, but
now, have you heard The Killers before, or is this the first time you've really heard their song or the music?
This was the first time I heard their song, and occasionally when I'm going home or just driving my car around, I'll hear a piece of song that I really enjoy, and it's been a while since that's happened. And I heard the song Human, and it was, I don't know, it's just, I liked the lyrics of it. I always like quirky lyrics to songs, and it was still happy sort of song, but it wasn't so peppy and repetitive that it was like just pop.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing I liked about it, it didn't sound too polished. A lot of music today, especially Britney Spears, and any of that pop music sounds too polished. It's kind of nice to hear someone sing a song and hear a bit of the band. And actually, The Killers, I Googled them after you told me about it, are from Las Vegas, and they're a real band. And you can kind of hear it when you listen to their music.
Although Las Vegas is one of those places you're like, oh.
Well, it's not a lounge act.
Like, you want them to come from Seattle or Vancouver or somewhere sort of unknown. Las Vegas, you know, that's where, like, Celine Dion has the whole Coliseum and the,
right,
the shows.
Right,
but
this is a band actually coming from Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Mostly bands go to Las Vegas when they're in the twilight of their career, you know, trying to milk the cash machine. Celine Dion's a great example.
Ah, so they're native
Michael Jackson.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. They're native, and that's different.
Yeah. So definitely, if you want, check it out. Google just Killers Human. You probably find a YouTube video on it. I keep on putting a link in that blog entry, but they keep on changing it on me. It's like they know that I put a link there so that viewers or readers could actually,
Stark Silver Creek, not to.
No, they don't, but it just seems like every time I put a link for readers to actually click on so they can listen to it as well online, they change the link on me the next day. So I don't know what's up with that. Maybe they're following me.
Well, all right. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Stark Naked Report. This is Clinton Stark, and I'm joined by Lonnie Stark. And we thank you for listening. We look forward to talking to you next time.